Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
What are you doing? Disinfecting everything?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Disinfecting everything. Germs are everywhere. So we have a nice can of Lysol in here because we're in very close quarters for a lot of hours, and so everything must get sprayed. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Happy Labor Day to you. I hope you're enjoying your day off while we toil behind the microphone for you. We do it all for you. Whose cable is this? Is this mine, by the way? It's a nice cable. Nope, not mine.
Hell if I know.
No, it's an iPhone one. You have an iPhone, don't you?
Steal it.
Well, I don't steal Yoink. Anything, but you should use it. No, it's here. Cables. Hard to figure out where they always go, though. Everybody's in that same boat. I see them everywhere. They're for sale everywhere. Gas stations, convenience stores, hardware stores, grocery stores. Why can we not keep track of our phone cables? Everybody has no idea where they are, or nobody has any idea where they are. No, say it however you'd like.
I've got a theory.
And that theory is?
That theory is that you're so obsessed with your phone that when you go grab the item out of the wall, you just immediately go into your phone and then go off about
and
your business.
And you forget the cable?
You forget the cable because it's just like, phone has juice now.
Unbelievable. I mean, how many places sell them. And now I understand the crappy ones die quickly, so you have to replace them. But beyond that.
Gas station stuff. Can I say blows on the air?
I wouldn't say that. Say another word, like stinks.
It blows chunks. I like that.
There you go. Blows chunks is a good
one. I heard someone said the other day, it sucks dog biscuits.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know why, but
well,
I thought that
good,
was
because
really
it kind of cleans it, kind of tempers it a little bit.
Right.
Speaking of, congratulations to that kid in Louisiana, too. What's his name? Joe Mother Trucker, best mother trucker ever, Johnson? What was that? That was unbelievable.
DeColdis to ever do it.
Yeah.
I forgot what the last name was.
I mean, that's I got to admit. I usually don't like gimmicky names, but that was pretty funny. But
that's pretty. Yeah,
I'd like B. If you had a third child, it was going to be BADD, bad, MUTHA,
bad mother,
bad mother Valvano. I don't think your mother signed off on that. But
it's like the Family Guy where Meg's name is not actually like Megan; it's Megatron.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Football was a interesting weekend in what is week one, even though they had some games last week. Of course, week zero really got underway this week. If you're a Louisville fan and you want to take inspiration from some of the results, well, there's certainly places where you can look and see teams that were huge underdogs that stepped up and turned out not only a close game, but won the game outright. So Louisville in that situation has to hope that they can follow the lead of teams like, Georgia Southern, I guess, who put together one of the biggest upsets. Not Georgia Southern, excuse me. I'm sorry. I misspoke there. Georgia State. Georgia Southern got walloped. Georgia Southern got walloped by LSU. Georgia State. I apologize. Georgia State takes it to Tennessee on the road 38-30. How great is that when you're that team? They gave you $950,000 to come to their building and kick their ass. That is tasty. Twisted football S&M thing. I mean, it's just, let's bring these guys in. Let's pay them to whack us around.
I really hope I didn't walk on any of that because that was gold. Did you hear him on ESPN? I got to find the soundbite.
Who's M? Who are you referring to?
The Georgia State head coach.
We didn't just come down here to. What was the term he used?
No, he said he would have. His only regret was he wished he would have asked for more money. That's pretty baller.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
And you get a win out of it and you take a big check home. But there's a couple of storylines why that's significant. I mean, if you're looking at it, as I've said many times, and I'm the first to you know, say that even though I think I will be surprised if Louisville's one of those teams that makes that kind of a jump up today, only because we saw so many things last year. It's largely the same cast of characters. They were so thin on the line. You're trying to find some place to hang your hat where it's going to be better, and we haven't seen that, but we don't know. They haven't played. We don't know. So maybe they are going to be one of those teams that just dazzles us because that is the way it may play out. We don't know. We certainly saw results like that. Wyoming goes and beats Missouri, which was got my attention. Everybody was talking about how good Missouri might be this year, and then they don't get past the Cowboys. They win that game. So there's a whole bunch of games that, you know, you say the spread was gigantic. Wasn't Purdue a gigantic favorite? Well, weren't they a big favorite? Purdue's a big favorite too, right? And the Nevada game, and they lost outright. And I like Jeff. I'm not rooting against him by any stretch of the imagination, no matter how mad Louisville fans can be that he didn't come. But it's the same thing I talk about. You know, this talk, like if he were here, Louisville would be talking about a bowl game instead of just trying to hold it together this year. The guy doesn't walk on water. He's a fine coach. But they just got beat by Nevada in their opener. Gave up 17 fourth quarter points to lose a big lead. So, I mean, it's not like, they're all of a sudden the narrative about Louisville should be completely different. He would be a good guy. If he were here, that'd be great. But they got a good guy and a fine coach, and he's going to build a good program. But, boy, oh, boy, he's going to be way ahead of the curve if he can do it with what the situation was he inherited to try and get off to an impressive start against Notre Dame, who, by all accounts, is going to be a very good football team this year. So, you want to take stock in the fact that there were some upsets out there, then there were some really big upsets out there. You can hang your hat on that. You can also point to other games where, you know, the team that was favored more than took care of business in games where they were heavily favored. That Georgia game I mentioned, the Georgia Southern game with LSU, an enormous favorite in that game, and they win by 52 points, 55-3. Right, I think that was the final in that game, if I'm not mistaken. Our guy Charlie Strong got his rear end handed to him by a good Wisconsin team, 49-0. Alabama certainly took care of business against Duke, 42-3. So there's a whole bunch of games. A&M over Texas State, 41-7. So there's a whole bunch of games where the favorite did what they should have done. And so when you look at that, then you can say, you know, why should you think it'll be different tonight for Louisville? Remains to be seen. But that's why we play the games. What we did find is, I wish they took the Heisman voting right now, because I would look like a genius. I'm the only guy in a preseason magazine said Jalen Hurts. He mentioned that I picked him in the Heisman.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that works against them is the last two Heisman winners have been Oklahoma quarterbacks. There's going to be a fatigue factor. Well, we're going to give it to another guy. But if he puts up numbers like that, you're going to have to.
Say,
I mean, he was
really
unbelievable. And I'm happy for the kid in some ways. I mean, I understand Tua's the real deal, and I understand why Alabama did what they did, but the guy was a pretty good player for a very good team, and they basically just kicked him aside like last year's laundry. And so
he took it in stride, though.
No, he was. Yeah, he was good, and he's certainly going to make the best of it in where he is right now. Well, 1 week, like I say, let the cake bake. We'll see. Got to let the cake bake for Kentucky, too, but you'd be hard-pressed to not walk away. And that's why I started to say the scores, the storylines, the two storylines I mentioned. One was, if you're a Louisville fan, you can point to some of the upsets and say, hey, maybe we'll be one of those teams tonight. Or if you really think Notre Dame is going to take care of business, there's certainly plenty of evidence of teams that were heavily favored who did just that. So that's the first part. The scores, you can do with them as you will, because they were all across the spectrum. The other thing is, you look at the SEC, and if you're Kentucky, you got to feel pretty good, don't you? I mean, because there were a lot of games where you certainly looked at your teams, your rivals, if you will, in this league, and they didn't do anything to put the fear of God in you. You know, just in terms of relative to, I know they don't play everybody in the league, obviously, but still, you take a look at Memphis beat Ole Miss, North Carolina, and Mack Brown, who people were like, what are they doing? They're bringing this guy, you know, back to the future. He's like 70-some-odd years old. He hasn't coached in 5 years. They were supposed to be, after Louisville, another team that was staring at a terrible season, and they took care of South Carolina, beat a Power 5 team and a border rival. And so from the ACC's point of view, good for North Carolina. But for the SEC, South Carolina lost. Tennessee in a shocking loss to Georgia State. Missouri lost to Wyoming. And as I said, Ole Miss lost to Memphis. So if you're Kentucky, I don't think it's insignificant at all that there was a 38-24 win that in some ways wasn't even that close. I mean, it was a late touchdown. They were hit really ahead by 21 points. And I wouldn't be that concerned about the way the game started. Toledo's projected to be a good team, and it's the first game of the year, and you tell you have to work some kinks out. That's an inexperienced secondary. They took advantage of that early, but there and that's the thing. You win a game like this where Kentucky's history has been where they don't cover in big margin games like that, and sometimes struggle to win them. I mean, it was pretty well over in the second half, and they didn't play perfectly by any stretch. They played spotty, which is a first game. And they were really good in some spots. They had some mistakes, but that's all the more impressive. If you can do that and have a 21-point lead on a very decent Toledo team, that's a good start to the season. So Kentucky's got to feel real good about that. And as I heard Locke say, and I didn't even realize that, what are they, 11-3 the last 14 games for Mark Stoops? Second best record in the league in that time. So this is their chance at this narrative. This is their chance to say last year was not a fluke. We are going to be one of those teams that you talk about 8-win, 9-win, 10-win seasons. And, you know, and we'll see. It's only one game, and it's Toledo. It's a MAC team. But based on what we're seeing in the rest of the league and what we saw from their opener, you certainly look like they're not going to be – you got to look at them and say, well, okay, they beat Toledo, but wait till they get into the SEC schedule. The other SEC teams certainly didn't come flying out of the gate, a number of them. And so they, you certainly think they'll have their chance to possibly get some, you know, the share of SEC wins that they need to put a good season together. You know, you take a look at it, and Eastern Michigan they should beat to get a second win. They go to South Carolina. The question is, can they beat them on the road? But they didn't look very good in their opener. Missouri's home, based on what we saw in their opener, that's certainly a winnable game. Tennessee's home, that's certainly a winnable game. At Vanderbilt, based on what we saw in that opener, that's certainly a winnable game. And then the last two non-conference games of the year, you would think, are winnable games. So if they just do what I just said there, that's 8 wins. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But so you gotta tip your hat. And in some ways, a Louisville fan should be happy to see that. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because Stoops came in, he followed a guy, you know, but Coach Brooks built it block by block. He didn't come flying out of the gate and win a million games. You know, and they didn't have huge success, but they had success. He's beloved, and with good reason. They went to multiple bowl games. They put a consistent winner together, and that was saying something for this program. No question about that. And Stoops came in, and he has taken it to a new height. 10 wins was his, you know, one of the best seasons in the school's history, but he's done it somewhat methodically also. It was, you know, brick by brick, place people in the right places and building the depth. And I think you're going to see Satterfield do the same thing here. And I think the impatience of fans, that Stoops went through the same thing. You remember at the beginning of last year, at this time of year, our show, our callers were like, there was such an ambivalence and indifference to Kentucky football by their fan base. Not talking about nationally. I'm talking about their own fan base. They were completely indifferent to the thing. Basically threw their hands up. We've had enough of this. We're never going to get where we'd like to see us go. And it was. And even after they started winning, it was probably halfway through the season before people jumped on board a little bit. So I think Satterfield, unfortunately, is going to go through some of that as well, because he's going to build it the right way, and it's going to be slow and steady and methodical and solid, and I think eventually they will be very good, but I think it's not going to happen very quickly, and there are still people delusional enough to think that, you know, especially in football, there's so many players. You know, basketball, to some degree, You can do that. I mean, if you brought in two marquee players, you got 40% of your rosters overturned in a major way. Football, that doesn't – so what? I mean, really, seriously. Let's say you brought in two really above average offensive players. Well, suppose one's a quarterback, one's a receiver, but your offensive line still blows chunks, as Nick would say. Then, you know, so what? Your quarterback's got no time to throw it. You can't do anything with that. Or you got a great running back and a great receiver. Well, the line can't open holes for them. And meanwhile, the defense is giving up 60 points a game. It is not only a sounder way to do it, because in the big picture, you're always better when you build a foundation and then can expand from there. But in football, it's almost a necessity because of the sheer numbers of people that you're going to need in order to be competitive. So it's going to take time. So if they do great tonight and they're one of those teams that springs the upset that we are talking about, you know, tomorrow, like, wow, you saw some of these biggest upsets and eyebrow raising upsets here in the college early part of the season. Georgia State, my goodness, wow, you know, on the road, you know, those kinds of things. Louisville is going to be one of those. Okay. If they can do that, that would be spectacular. But I just I think there's a difference in a lot of those other places in terms of, you know, App State, of course, where Satterfield was, they always talk about the upset and, you know, what went on with the win over Michigan. But the fact of the matter is they had been there a while. They'd built and they, you know, they certainly were methodically getting to one of the better programs, one of the very best programs, in fact, in the country at their level. That says something. That definitely says something. So we'll see, and we'll be here for all of it with you. Remember tonight. All of, and by the way, thanks to those who are joining us on 93.9 today for our special all sticks coverage here of this lead up to Louisville and Notre Dame. I do want to mention this, by the way, before I get into the promo stuff. I mean, it looks like it's going to be close if it's not already a sellout. There's very few tickets left, I'm told, or at least there was yesterday, so that's nice to see. There was some Notre Dame turned some tickets back, weren't sure. You know, the snarky among the group said, oh, there's going to be more people going to the flea market than going, you know what? There's going to be a good crowd there. But that's the point, is lost in this because everybody is so concerned with Louisville coming off such a bad year last year. And I heard a texter, Locke read a text, and it's really true. I'm not trying to pile on, but that was truly, honestly, the only other team, for all of Cragthorpe's struggles here, the only other team that I saw that remotely approached that in terms of ineptitude was Ron Cooper's year. I mean, so that was truly, a guy wrote, that was the worst college football team I've ever seen. I mean, certainly from your own fan point of view. So it's a major, major road back. There's no question. But because of that, is lost in the fact that when this game was announced, how much excitement there was about it. Notre Dame coming to your place. It was so exciting when Louisville went there the first time. And now to have them coming to your stadium, this is, you know, why they allow Notre Dame, frankly, to have the framework that they have in this league where they – they're not really part of the league in football. They aren't everything else. They have their own TV deal, but people endure it because nights like this are supposed to be marquee nights. I don't know what that caller said to you, but he made you chuckle. So was he chuckling out of the stupidity of the call, or he was trying to be funny?
No, he was chuckling too. He had an infectious laugh, but he was wondering, and I think...
if you'd tickle him.
No. He was just wondering where, with all this, has Petrino, like, resurfaced, and or did he just take his money and, you know, retire? And I know that he's speaking at like a conference.
What the boosters have. No, it's like a preseason booster thing. A lot of the,
is that what
you,
it was?
You bring it in. You bring people in. I've done them in basketball. I'm making a city up. I did it at West Virginia once. The West Virginia Hoopsters. You know, I was there to cover a game. They will try and get often one of the analysts to come and speak to their group before the game.
Or a coach or something.
Or a coach. That's even better. I mean, so I think this was a football group in Arkansas.
Is that where it was?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
That's
I thought it was a clinic. Oh, I thought it was
the clinics are done basically by now. The coaches, okay, the clinics are all done in the offseason. I'm pretty sure it was at
a
Alabama
ago,
football coaches, you know. Well, maybe it was. That because the season hadn't started yet, so it's possible it was a clinic then. But it was an Alabama thing. I mean, Arkansas thing. And so there you go. So, but I don't, you know, he's got enough money. He certainly doesn't have to take a job anywhere. I mean, so
that's true.
Well, we'll see where he goes. I wonder about that. What would you do? I mean, I really wonder about that. Would you continue to work? Not necessarily here. Would you do something else? Or would you, I mean, you're so young. Like, if you stumbled into that vast sum of money, do you still work? I mean, do you want? Because there are people that need something to get up and go to, or they go out of their mind.
Yeah.
I mean, so I always wondered about that. Because, you know, you always read about those stories of the people who win the lottery and then their lives are ruined. And there's a bunch of them that are like that. But I think we like to – I hate to say that, but we like to publicize that because we like to reemphasize to ourselves that, see, money can't buy happiness. You know, I didn't – but I bet you there's – for every one of those,
certainly
there's 100 stories of people that are happy as hell that are just out there.
No,
and they're like,
this buddy bought me a lot of happiness.
This changed my life completely, and it's 1,000 times for the better. And so I don't – you know, I'd like to see – I think that would be a good book, you know, the counterbalance to the tragic – oh, well, I mean, because it's true, though. I mean, how about that guy, the guy who won all that money on the game show we were talking about? Very often those are guys that...
The Presser Luck guy?
Yeah, and then he lost it all, and he was... He lost all his money.
He's a little shady, though.
Well, that's what
I mean.
He's
a shady ice cream.
Well, because there are people that look for an edge. You're always looking for an angle, and eventually that catches up with you. I heard that great line. He said, these are people that know the price of everything and the value of nothing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was good.
How about that?
That was pretty...
How about that? By the way, produce
that,
is
Mikey?
Here. I came in last night. Did you see my office?
What?
They're probably going to fire me soon.
Why?
Because this is my most decorated and set up office of any place I've ever worked with. Possibility, I shouldn't say that. I guess that as I got further along in coaching, I had a nice office at Bellarmine too. But here, I mean, it's like a museum. I could charge admission to get in there.
What, with all the bobbleheads?
And all the collectibles and bobbleheads and autographed stuff and just cool stuff. And I put that in my favorite comic strip up there. Did you see that by the door?
What, the Dilbert one?
Yes.
Is it Bungie Boss?
No, it's the one where the guy says, he goes into Dogbert, the cynical dog, is running a sports collectible store.
Oh, yeah.
The guy comes in and says, wow, a baseball signed by the leader of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther. That's got to be worth something. That's a softball, to make it more bizarre. A softball signed by the leader of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther. That's got to be worth something. Unfortunately, I was looking for a ball signed by Martin Luther King, Jr. He says to Dogbert, do you have anything by him? And Dogbert says, come back in 10 minutes.
Oh, well, that one is good.
I absolutely love that one. Dogbert's got his last frame. Dogbert's got his pen out. Come back in 10 minutes.
Didn't you sign a baseball?
From Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
To the best of luck to ESPN 680. Babe Ruth.
That thing rolled around the studio for a while. I don't know where it went.
Anyway, so yes, it's a collectible. It's somewhat organized by theme. The superhero bobbleheads that the Bats gave out. The Hulk and I don't know. You know all the Marvel characters. I don't know them. They're all gathered in one spot.
I think you have Hulk, Captain Marvel, and Black Panther.
So I knew you'd know that. Then I got the horse racing guys all together. And Jeff Walls is in there, too. He just seems to like the horse racing guys. All the baseball guys are on the other side. Then my marquee ones are all front and center on the big shelf I just put in there. The most, you know, I mean, I don't even have to tell you, the best bobble of all time is the one in the middle there.
Is that Willie Mays?
Willie Mays. But yeah. The catch. That's incredible. The ball's floating. It's one of the most incredible bobbleheads I've ever seen. So I've got that. And also taking a place of great prominence on that shelf, I'm delighted to say.
Cookie Lady.
The Cookie Lady.
Yeah.
Because when we close at night and they all start running and playing, she's walking from room to room and hawking those cookies, and they just love her. So
I could go for a cookie.
Yeah, I know they were racing horses over the weekend, because I'm telling you. Secretary was not where I left him when I got in today. So Baffert was hot walking around the desk.
Poor Drew comes in there just breezing him down the hallway.
Louisville football underway tonight against Notre Dame. Our coverage on all the sticks, getting you ready for the football game tonight. It's presented by Window World, simply the best for less, and the Kentucky Office Five-Way Safety, reminding you to get a ride home even if you're just a little impaired. Drive sober or get pulled over. We'll take a short time out and come back. Thanks for being with us. 267-9680, 437-9680 is the text line. Anything you want to say, you can send it to us, and we may read it. We may not. I really got to remember to get the copy ready before I get underway here. If I can find the copy, I'll do it. But
that's great. And while you're looking for that, I'll mention that we're not having a Mill & Tony Monday today just because it's Labor Day. So the restaurant is closed. But tomorrow.
The restaurant's closed?
Yeah, but tomorrow there will be some delicious Mill & Tony. It'll be a Mill & Tony Tuesday, yes.
Well, so we're going to take a break and we'll gather all our papers, not the least of which is the predictions. Oops, something just fell in the garbage. Oh.
What the hell was that? This is hilarious radio.
The pledge.
Oh, the pledge.
Which is nice.
For the wood.
Knocked my headset out in the same motion there. Lemon pledge and Lysol.
Mix them together. See if you can get a nice buzz going before you get down to Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Saw Bobby V down at the football stadium. His eyes were really red.
I can't find the picks that Mike and I made. We have to go back through the show. But anyway, I can tell you about Genesis Diamonds.
There we go.
They've got a great deal in place where if you buy a diamond and then you decide, you know what, that was really nice, but I want to upgrade, they'll give you 100% of the price you paid for that first diamond plus an extra 10% toward the purchase of a new diamond. How great is that? So you get basically all of your money back. Doesn't lose one penny of its value plus some more. Let's just take a simple example. Suppose you buy a $5,000 diamond now, and you bring it back in a couple of years. You find a $7,000 diamond you'd like to get. Genesis will give you $5,500 for your original diamond. That's what you paid for it, plus 10%. So you only pay the difference in cash for the new one. In this example, it'd be $1,500 more, and you end up with that much bigger diamond. That's an amazing policy and really shows how a company like Genesis stands behind what they sell, because they know they're selling you quality stuff. So if you want to sell it back to them, they'll be happy to take it because they know it still has great value. They don't inflate their prices like other stores do. They don't play retail pricing games. They work with you no matter what your budget, because they want you to be a customer for life. And that's certainly what we are in our household. all the Valvanos like to head over there because they get great service. They have the best prices, the biggest selection, and the people are just spectacular. If you're getting engaged or celebrating a big anniversary for any occasion, I want you to see my friends at Genesis. Let them take care of you. Remember, not only the best warranties, the best prices, and the best selection, but they have non-commissioned salespeople who are not going to try and upsell you because they want you to buy something you really can't afford, so they get a bigger commission. It's just a great place and a safe place to shop for jewelry. Genesis Diamonds, official jeweler of the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats on Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Take a break, come back. It's ESPN 680-1057.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
All right, guy, getting some interesting texts. One guy not excited because not pleased that we didn't open the show with doing a Louisville cheer. He was listening to Rummage and Maben. I guess they were all pumped up, and we gave a synopsis of the whole college football weekend. But of course, that red blue filter. All he heard was we recapped the Kentucky game, so that made him piss his pants. So we're sorry about that. Please get yourself some new trousers, sir. But we're talking college football. I thought that was appropriate. I don't care if Brohm got blown out by 30. I'd take Brohm over Satterfield 100 times. Now, okay. Why is that? I'm just asking what your rationale is for that. Why would you say that? I mean, do you know? Like, I saw Satterfield's teams play at App State, and they were boring. They were terrible. What wouldn't you like by a guy who built a program the right way, by most of his colleagues talk about how brilliantly they coach? I'm just curious. Well, 100 times over, it's like comparing a Rolls Royce with a Yugo. Why? I'm just curious. Why would you say that? You can say what you want to. You can like, you know, like I said, if we're talking about flavors of ice cream, you give me Rocky Road, I'll take that a million times over chocolate. Fine, if that's a matter of taste. But when you do that, when you make a statement like that, usually there's some sort of a factual basis to back that up. Why would you say that? I don't get that. I mean, not that Brohm's not a fine coach, and I like him. We ran into him. Where did we see him? We saw him downtown. We did the show at during basketball season, right? We were at the
Our friends, Troll Pub.
Troll Pub.
Under the bridge.
Yeah. Yep. Love his whole family. All a whole bunch of them. Great guys. And he's done a really good job, but I don't get that. Satterfield, I mean, I listen to what his colleagues say. They all say what a terrific, talented coach he is. I look at what went on there. No hint of scandal, overachievers, built a program of perpetual success. Wasn't like he was one of those guys that stunk, had one big year and got the hell out of Dodge. They were good, and they kept being good, and they maintained. So I don't get it. Guy pointed out where Petrino spoke was a high school booster club in Arkansas. I don't think you can make a living doing that. There you go. Let's see. Tweet out a picture of the office. I think I'm going to do better because you can't get it in one picture. I'm going to do one of those video things, a panorama of the video. It's scary because not only is it organized, my desk is clear enough. I have a computer in there now a laptop, which I can work at, which we didn't have. And in the corner, there's some yellow tubs that are stacked and organized so that, like, whenever we have something we want to give away, we can access them. Very often we like to do a prize pack. Hey, let's give away the so-and-so. And they're like, where is it? I don't know.
So, by the way, V-Show prize packs now. Got a couple of them pre-made.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they've got a wonderful, oftentimes, Red's 150th anniversary tote bag.
Nice.
And in it be some nice ESPN Louisville koozies, maybe a gift card or two. But also the piece de resistance.
Oh,
a bunch of French random crap.
Oh,
that
the,
you were
the random
getting,
crap
you were
is
in
fantastic
the middle of throwing out.
Oh no, you took stuff out of the trash.
Sure did.
You're a strange man.
It's gonna be a lot of fun
for you, not necessarily for the listener when he gets a misshapen paperclip.
Who doesn't want the away. Office season 6?
By the way, I'd like
Blu-ray.
To. Well, that makes sense. Why wouldn't you like that?
Or a DVD?
If it's on Blu-ray, does it not play in a regular DVD?
No,
it doesn't. Oh, so it'll be worthless for that guy.
Doesn't have backwards compatibility.
So nobody has a Blu-ray, do they?
A decent number of people do. I like if you have a PlayStation, you have a Blu-ray.
I'd like to find this text because I meant to open the show. He's probably not listening anymore. I know Locke will occasionally listen to the first part of the show, and I wanted to rip him mercilessly, and I just didn't get a chance to do it at the top because we were obviously just talking about Kentucky for the whole first half hour, according to
want to rip Locke while I play the Louisville fight song underneath?
No, that
like
wouldn't be good.
That could appease to everybody.
No, you don't want to have something negative going underneath that. That wouldn't be very good. Let me see if I can find this email. Let me see if I can find this. Because he's a dirty, rotten, lying liar is what he is. And I'd like to point that out to everybody, especially in light of the fact that, and what makes it worse,
to really attack him,
is that I don't really give, I play in these things for fun. That's the only thing I'm trying. There's a whole bunch of people that really think they're proving something about it. I don't know, like it's some vast knowledge of whatever. And there's nothing wrong with playing to try and win, and it's great. And, you know, I try and win, but I'm just in it for fun, really. So, like this year, we're very excited. My team is the Amtrak's Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons, presented by Ronzoni Pasta, because Ronzoni, because we are only drafting players in the Northeast Corridor, which would be Philadelphia, the New York Giants, the New York Jets, the Washington Redskins, the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, and Bills. anybody who's Italian. Which ticks me off because Locke, and they will not allow us to have kickers, so we can't take Giorgio, who made the team. He's fantastic.
He's in my league in Lexington.
Okay, we'd be part of the drawing to see where we got picked, a draft pick. So we got the ninth pick. So correctly, I pissed and moaned about that because I know they screwed us because we weren't there. They can deny it all they want, but there's no question that they kept drawing until they got the numbers they want and gave us what was left over. So Locke tries to play it off as, well, he's got the number one overall pick and tries to play it off as, I don't even want the pick. I'll trade it with anybody. Immediately, I responded, I will trade you the ninth pick and an Empire Electrons and Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons hat presented by Ronzoni toque that is perfect for running because I know he likes to run outdoors in the winter.
That is a great jogging
fantastic
toque.
Yeah. A fantastic toque. And I'm okay, let's tee it up. And that means I would get Barkley from the Giants, and I'd actually have a decent player to start. So what does the lying liar do? He says, no, I'm not going to do that trade. What happened to the text that went to everybody in the big bravado that I don't want the number one pick because then I got to sit there and wait to make my second pick, which is maybe the most, for a guy who's so bright, the most ridiculous logic I've ever heard in my life. Because you've got to wait for it to come all the way back around to you. I got to wait for 18 more picks before I get to pick again. Oh, my God. Seriously. So I just, you know, and the thing is, I like him.
The thing that guy just says, but
I would do that with you guys. I mean, you know, you and Jamie and, if you know, just when you do that, it's a lying, it's just, he's a lie. You got to call a lying liar a lying liar.
He actually, well, I mean, you heard it, Midday Rush.
Because I was hustling to get in here before he took off, because I wanted to confront him with it. So I opened the door. I said, oh, there's the lying liar. He told me, what happened? I had the whole deal in place, number nine for number one, plus a Amtrak Northeast Carter Empire Electron presented by Ronzoni hat, and nothing. No, well, I looked at who I could get at number nine. Okay,
yeah,
well,
I was just about to say.
There is a difference, isn't it? So it's not just that, you know, you're the resident genius of this thing. When you pick ninth.
I knew he wasn't going to give the number one pickup.
Please. Just so you just got to tell like it is. He's a nice guy, a really good father. I think for whatever reason, Carolyn really loves him. But you just got to call a lying liar a lying liar. And that was a lying liar right there.
You need to get Carolyn on your side.
Well, she knows he's a lying liar. She loves him despite that.
But she's Italian, so maybe we could, you know, use the Ronzoni angle. Maybe you can get Saquon. Who is supposed to be going at 9 and 10? I've done no research.
I got my magazine. It doesn't matter who's supposed to, quote-unquote, go at 9 and 10. I have all the players in the book highlighted that play for the Ravens, the Redskins, the Giants, the Jets, the Patriots, the Bills. Did I leave one out? I think that's it.
The Alouettes in Toronto?
No. Well,
or the Argonauts in Toronto?
It's the Northeast Corridor. Is the Eagles, the Redskins, the Ravens, the Giants, the Jets, the Patriots, the Bills. That's seven teams, so it's a lot better than last year. I only started taking teams from the Giants and the Jets.
And the
who
Bills.
Had no, that was only after I realized how crappy the Giants and Jets were. So just to make it somewhat competitive for the rest of the league, I took the Bills. Then I took anybody who'd ever played for a New York team. Then I started taking guys that I knew visited New York. Then I played with guys who, you know, their family came through Ellis Island. That was fine. We took them by the end of the year. And we won some games. After being denounced by the others in the league, they'll never win a game. Locke was happy to advertise because it's so important to him how serious fantasy is. So this was
a commissioner.
And Drew was pissed too, which made me laugh even more. We got the little angry man angry that somehow.
Well, that's the favorite flavor.
I was
Drew.
Somehow besmirching, like, you know, sacrificing. This was like, you know, sitting down for the anthem for these guys. This was like, what are you doing to our fantasy league? Did I give you the money? I gave you the money. What do you care about? Oh, no, Giorgio got cut. Giorgio Tavecchio cut from the Falcons, and I was in my fantasy magazine. They were like, why don't the Jets pick him up? The Jets have a guy who can't reach the goalposts. Seriously, the Jets kicking is an absolute unmitigated train wreck presented by Amtrak's Northeast Corridor. So, I mean, why wouldn't they need to pick up Giorgio? Wow.
Poor Giorgio. He's going to be incensed.
Brohm had a chance for the job. He turned it down. I don't buy any idea we should offer him more money. Why? I'm sure he was offered a very good contract. If he wanted to come home, come home. Get over it. This time I'm indifferent about Brohm. Chapter closed. Okay, well, that's what I'm asking. Why is the other guy so? I'd take him 100 times over. I totally agree, Texter. Even though I really like Mr. Satterfield, I think Brohm would have brought more excitement right away. Disappointment, Vince Tyre could not close the deal. Okay. 100 times over? Is that worth 100 times over? This program that evidently is not getting quite the bang for the buck that people would have thought. They have the largest budget, and yet it's perceived as, I read that text, the study, whatever the hell it was, the survey, that's what we're looking for, that Locke alluded to, 100 athletic directors, and it's perceived as the ninth best job in the league, despite the fact it's got the highest budget, which leads me to think that they have sent a lot of good money after bad, or bad money after good, whatever that cliche is. And so if Vince is trying to run things with some sense of fiscal responsibility, good on you. And I think they're going to do fine. So we'll see. But, I think you make your best pitch. Guy doesn't want to come back to where he went to school. I don't know what people lose their minds about stuff, because when you're a fan, you cannot believe that everybody in the world wouldn't chop off their left index finger to just come back and be at your school, especially if you went to school there. And sometimes, you know, it's not that easy. It's not that simple. So good on him if he wants to stay happy where he is. Happy, I like people who can be happy. That's fine. He's not the only guy on coach, and the guy they got is a good guy. So he would have brought more excitement. He would have brought more excitement for one reason, because people know who he is. So when you have familiarity, you can it's like when you go in a room with a guy that you've known for a long time. I got friends like that I went to college with. I'll go 2 years without seeing. The minute we get to a room, bam, it's like we were never apart. So you can joke and banter and bup, bup, bup. You know them. You don't know Satterfield at all. Not only don't you know him, that's why people like when you hire a name coach, because, oh, yeah, I remember watching him on the sideline. He's the guy who wears the goofy hat backwards, or, you know, he spits when he talks or something. This, you just know something about the guy. They don't know anything about him. So there's a certain sense of, well, we got to get to know you. And I'm saying, fine, that's fine. I understand that. But to write him off before you know him seems kind of crazy. So what's the latest on Giorgio? So he really got cut? I'm not happy about this. I mean, sometimes I wonder, what's he going to do? Coach Quinino, why would you do that to my boy?
If he could play football.
Giorgio cut Tavecchio in the news. We need news, news.
By the way, how do we do this weekend?
Misses by Giorgio Tavecchio, Blair Walsh. Leave the door open for Matt Bryant.
Several hours
before the Falcons' final preseason game, a report surfaced the team brought in Matt Bryant.
The guy from the Bears, right? Isn't that where he was from?
I don't know. Where he kicked before. No, that wasn't the guy who missed for the Bears. I don't think so. Was it?
I thought it was. I know Blair Walsh was from the Vikings.
Hey, I turned the right mic off there for the cough. That's good. Matt Bryant. Falcons re-signed Bryant after cutting kicker. No, he was cut from the Falcons last year. He was
that's why Giorgio was playing.
They cut him. Brett Bryant's 44 years old. They brought him in Friday. They signed him to a new deal. A shocking turn of events, considering they cut him less than 7 months ago. People thought he was going to retire at 44 years old, but he was very reliable when he was there in the first go-around. In 2018, he connected on 95% of his field goals. Good Lord. Since 2016, he's made 91% of his field goals. So, I mean, kickers have a rough life. You miss one and they forget about 10 years of they can't wait to
remember
bounce you
Mike Vanderjack, the kicker for the Colts before Adam Vinatieri, was literally statistically the most accurate kicker in the history of football. Granted, did get a little drunk and said some weird things around the All-Star break. Peyton Manning had to put him in check, but he missed like two in the postseason, one that kept them, I think, out of the AFC championship game, and he disappeared after that. He went to Dallas for like a handful of years and then just proceeded to get like crappier and crappier, but his career was never the same.
Yeah, but oh, look who's here. Giorgio has come in. Oh, Giorgio.
Hey, Giorgio.
I just have to tell you, I'm not happy about Adisa. They tell me, Giorgio, you must go home. Because I say, well, what do I do? I go and Coach Aquinino say, go kick the ball. I go kick the ball. But I go out and they tell me, Giorgio, four of those times that you go out there, we ask you to go out there 8 times. 8 times, that's all I get. 8 times I try to go kick the ball. And 4 of the times I do not kick them between the goal poles. They do not go where they should go. And they say, Giorgio, now you must go home. And I say, but hey, you stu not. The 4 of those times, you make me kick 3 of those from all the way on our side of the field. I am 50 yards away. That is 50 yards. Why not that you get a little closer? You get Matt Ronino, the quarterback, to get me a little bit closer so I can make it. Why not that you put me back at our own like a 12-yard line and let me kick one 90 yards and see? And then they say, Giorgio, you will go home now. I cannot make it because our offense not getting me close enough. You should have fired the offense and a keeper, Giorgio. Giorgio is not happy. I'm not happy, I tell you. I do every time Coach Aquinino tell me to kick the ball, I kick the ball. I run out and I kick the ball. But they keep me 55 meters away. I cannot. They might as well put me a kilometer away, and I could not reach. That is not fair. Not fair, I say.
You're so far away, you needed to hop on a Vespa.
I could hardly even see the goal poles. They were so far down there. And then I still... do not understand why we're not allowed to get a little bit closer. Why not I get to try that thing after the PAL? Yeah, the P-A-L. P-A-T. P-A-T, yeah, that thing. Why not I do that one? The point after touchdown. That is I'm good at. That I should gonna do. But this, from a 50, and then they say, go away. I am very sad.
Poor Giorgio, sorry.
Giorgio, please come back and visit with us. But right now, you need to cool off a little bit. I'm going to see my good paisano friend, Adam Vinatieri. He's going to be a 75 years older this year. 75 years old. He's still a kicker for the Colts. Because that Andrew Lucky guy say, me and no one to play no more. I am going home. I'm taking my lira, and I am going home. So now Adam Vinatieri going to have to make a lot of kicky ball because they are not going to get that many of those touchdowns. So he is going to have to make a kicky ball, and he is good at kicky ball. I will go talk to him, and I will try to find another place to kicky ball. I'm leaving now. Thank you so much. Giorgio.
Bye, Giorgio.
Ciao. Oh, man. Very disappointed. First time we've really seen Giorgio angry.
Really. Yeah. I think he's taking it kind of in stride. Like, you know, he got some of the – that was good. He needed to vent a little bit.
Yeah.
He needed to let our Paisan vent a
little. They make the poor guy try 50-yard field goals, and he misses 3 of them, and they bounce him. He played last year filling in. He was 5 for 5 last year in actual games. And but they said, no, we're going to bring back Bryant, who's 44, and poor Giorgio will have to ply his trade elsewhere. Seriously, the Jets should have picked him up. Their place kicking. That's what it was. That's what that race guy says. Here we go.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was it.
That was the race.
We combined the two of them.
Here we go.
Let's see. Satterfield will be better in the long run than Brohm. He may not stay if he gets this job going. I pray he does, but no one has yet. Who knows? Boy, that's a nice problem to worry about. Hey, big fella, how are you? I mean, we'll see if... you see, this is the people. This is how you can make criticism. That's why they call it spin. Guy who still wants Brohm, who didn't answer me why he would take Brohm 30 times over for Satterfield, didn't give me an answer to that, even though I asked him. Tell me the reason why. Says U of L has the largest athletic budget and they're spray painting seats. OLO. That's the whole point. Seriously, you're that worried about the damn seats? Honest to God. I mean, it's literally 5 times more expensive. There's nothing wrong with those seats. So you don't like the pink color? They're going to be red. And he did it at 1/5 the cost. I'm saying that's good leadership, dude. So, I mean, that's what I say. Spin it however you want to. Let's see what else we've got here. You read a fantasy magazine? Well, I had to buy one to try and help me rank the players because our sponsors, the Northeast Corridor, Amtrak's Northeast Corridor, Empire Electrons, presented by Ronzoni. I think they deserve.
If you keep doing that by the end of the year,
I will say it every time. In fact, to piss everybody off of the draft tonight, I will not make a pick unless I say tomorrow. With the 9th pick in the draft, the Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons presented by Ronzoni Pasta select. I will do that. How many rounds are there? There's 10 rounds? They will hear that 10 times.
There's like 20.
You know, 20-man roster. How many rounds do you have? You only pick 15 guys, 16 guys.
Yeah, I might have exaggerated.
So they'll hear.
I might have exaggerated.
My guess is to have them hear 30 times. That's going to be so quality entertaining. That's what you get when you lie. When you're a lying liar, then you hear it a lot.
So you're blaming Locke for this.
Well, I would have only done it maybe 10 times, but now I will hammer it home. I'm wearing garb to the draft. I'm going to wear the jacket and the. I'm going to have the souvenir stand set up for the fellow owners to pick out things if they'd like. Because we broke the fantasy football merchandising record last year, and it wasn't close. It was not even close. And
has Edmonton sued us yet?
Edmonton, who?
Oh God!
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
The Eskimos.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Their initials are the same as ours. I get that now. Edmonton
logo
Eskimos.
Looks awfully familiar.
Yeah,
if you're a CFL.
Yeah,
fan.
It's probably the same graphic artist. Those toques are sweet, by the way.
Those toques are awesome. Yeah. I've actually been meaning to take one.
No, you don't take one. It's just the store is open. The store will be open. You just go take one. Then what do you think? What do you think? It's, you know, Louisville, hey, I like the new stuff from Adidas. I think I'm going to go down and help myself to some. Let's see what else is going on. Georgia got cut, the bad news of the day, because they made him kick him from so far away. There's this show called This Is Not Happening.
I've heard of that show, but I don't know who's in it or what it's about. I think it's a comedy.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what the rest of the text means. There's this show called... do you think he was sending us to the wrong show? Because we weren't talking about anything like this, were we? This Is Not Happening, where some committee and talks about stealing one of Vanderfleece jerseys. Oh, Vanderjack, maybe?
Maybe.
Why he was referring
to
Vanderjack? Yeah. Okay. And the spell check turned it into Vanderfleece. I like that better. It's almost as good as Bad Mother Valvano, your hypothetical
brother. The coldest to ever do it. What was his last name?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
That's good.
Crawford.
Crawford, that's right.
Coldest to ever do it, Crawford. That is pretty strong.
You think Eric Crawford's going to change his name?
He can't now. He'll have to get another one. He could be Bad Mother Crawford.
Bad Mother Crawford. Can you introduce him?
I will.
From now on.
It's Bad Mother Crawford. BM. I'll just shorten it to BM Crawford.
Oh, man, I'm going to miss having him on.
Biscuit's coming in next, I think.
Yep.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
All right, that'll be tasty.
But wait one second, because we are simulcasting. I need to make sure I use the right ID.
Because it says both ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville.